Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members. Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Toscalito Tire and Automotive, your one-stop, on-the-spot auto service headquarters in San Francisco and the North Bay. Terzo, an authentic, upscale European restaurant in the Cal Hollow neighborhood in San Francisco. And Rose's Cafe, a favorite local hangout also in Cal Hollow. Now here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Today we'll talk about the Warriors' series win over the San Antonio Spurs and the upcoming Western Conference semifinal series with the New Orleans Pelicans. But first, we want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Ray, the Warriors got through the Spurs. They didn't sweep them, but they won it in five games. Spurs gave them a pretty good effort there those last two games, winning game four, and it came down to the wire there in game five, especially at the end. I mean, I give San Antonio credit, even though, you know, they weren't up to snuff, especially going through a whole series without their best player, really. I mean, and their coach not being there the last couple of games. That had to be tough, but, you know, the Warriors had enough firepower without Steph Curry to get the job done.
Just enough firepower.
Yeah, just enough.
I mean, they went into a deep freeze in the fourth quarter, and a little bit of gurgling, but no gagging. They got a couple of big buckets from Kevin Durant down the stretch, and they held off the Spurs. And I want to go back a week because I'm going to make history here. First time maybe on any podcast that a podcast voice has admitted they were wrong. But I thought they were going to sweep the Spurs. And you give the Spurs all the credit in game four for coming out at least one last game with a home crowd and putting up a great fight and getting the Warriors out of their game. And the Warriors did not play well either, but the Spurs made it very difficult for them. They fought really hard. They had to be thinking about Greg Popovich a little bit, who's mourning the loss of his wife and was not there for game five as well. And they came down the stretch and showed some fight in game five, despite, you know, even without Steph Curry, the Warriors have a tremendous talent advantage over the Spurs team. But, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge was great. Patty Mills was very good in this series. They got other contributions as well. And they made it really hard on the Warriors. And the Warriors made it a little hard on themselves, too. And just, you know, a lot of shots they usually make, they were clanging off the rim and maybe got a little tight at the end. But I think this is one of those where you just give the Spurs some credit for showing some fight, at least in the last two games under adverse circumstances. And, you know, remember, there are some champions on that team. They're well past their prime, and who knows what's going to happen with Kawhi. That is a strange situation that's going to be played out this summertime. But it's quite possible that they could come back with a very strong squad next year.
Yeah, I mean, you wonder how this series might have turned out if Kawhi Leonard was healthy or, you know, if he was playing in it, it could have been different. There's no doubt. But still, like you said, I mean, guys like Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker, they might be nearing the end of their careers, but they still play really hard. They're still really smart out there. A lot was made about whether or not that was the last game that you saw of Ginobili. I'm not sure about that, but, I mean, you still have to have a lot of respect for what they do.
Yeah, Ginobili is Ginobili to the very end. He got away with a flop. We know that about him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was inspirational in the fourth quarter of game four, without a doubt. Drank from the fountain of youth a little bit. I know Steve Kerr said after the series was closed out, you know, what the heck, come back. If you love it, come back. He mentioned Roger Federer, and that, you know, that's what keeps him going. And Federer, of course, still playing at a very high level. I don't know what's in Manu Ginobili's head. I think he's right to wait until the season is over and think about it a little bit and not make any rash decisions now when the emotions are pretty high. But, this is going to be a Hall of Fame player, right, for his contributions to the international game. I think he will be. And he's a guy who, you know, it was part of the international influence of the NBA as well. Spreading the league's message and spreading the message of basketball worldwide. So I don't think you can underestimate his significance and, you know, still making contributions. And I think with the right depth next year, he could still be a good contributing player.
Dubs OT continues after this from Toscalito Tire and Automotive.
You have to admit, collecting NBA titles is a new trend for the Warriors, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971. With quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at six Bay Area locations near you, Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family, and they offer a nationwide warranty backed by the strength of the Goodyear Tire and Service Network. And unlike watching close Warriors games, going to Toscalito equals a stress-free life. With four Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
Now for the Warriors, without Steph Curry, you knew they were going to have to count on Kevin Durant to do a lot of scoring, and he did. I mean, he averaged 28 points a game. They were going to have to count on Klay Thompson to come up at times. You know, he averaged 23 points a game. You know, they definitely didn't play up to their standards at times, you know, especially in game four where a lot of the players were taking the blame. But I think overall, those two players stepped up, and so did Andre Iguodala because, you know, he was starting as the point guard, and I thought he shot the ball a little bit better, handled the ball pretty well for a guy who's not really normally a point guard, but, you know, just a facilitator, and just looked pretty fresh, which is what you needed the Warriors to have, some fresh legs. Same thing for Sean Livingston. He really played a big role in the series. He averaged almost 10 points a game and just looked like he was more comfortable with his pull-up shots.
Yeah, I think that you know, for Sean, it kind of comes and goes. It's been that way this year, and so you need as much rest as possible for him. They're going to be playing Game 1 against New Orleans Saturday at Oracle, and you know that few days rest is going to be very important. Iguodala, the same story. You know, Iguodala, the main thing is his defense, and that was evident from the tip-off in Game 1 when the announcement was made that he was starting and not Quinn Cook. And it was the right decision. And the Warriors' defense in this series was very, very good. Iguodala was a part of that. You know, that was the thing about Game 5, even when they were in the deep freeze. The defense was still there, and they held the Spurs to 91. They held them to under 40% shooting. And Iguodala, like I said, a big part of that. Draymond Green was absolutely tremendous, guarding multiple opponents. And he got a little more time against LaMarcus Aldridge. The Spurs were trying to get him into foul trouble. They couldn't do it. Kevin Durant was having trouble shooting threes all through this series, but he could get to the elbow, get to the free throw line, just not any time he wanted to. As it turns out, he made a big three down the stretch. He also drove to the basket for a slam dunk. And Klay, who was great in the first three games, non-existent in game four, but that's the life of a shooter, isn't it?
And yeah.
He just wasn't a factor in that game. You knew he'd come back and be better in Game 5. And the thing I loved about Game 5 is, I mean, the Spurs weren't sloughing off. They were making it hard for him to get open. He fought to get his shots. He really did compete hard in that game. And so I think, you know, under those circumstances, maybe the best game of the series, when they really needed him to step up, he did. And, you know, now it comes down to, will Steph Curry be available in the next round? They're going to need him.
They are. I love the quote from Klay Thompson. I saw it on the Twitter feed of Monty Poole from NBC Sports Bay Area. Klay Thompson saying that if Steph Curry doesn't play, we're prepared. If he does play, hallelujah. And I guess that's the feeling. I mean, this team knows that it just got through a series and won, but you know, it's definitely going to take a little bit more to beat a Pelicans team that swept the Portland Trailblazers in the first round.
That was one of the stunners, maybe the stunner so far in these playoffs. Not only that they beat the Blazers, but the way they beat them so convincingly. And, you know, you talk about backcourt matchups. That's one area where the Warriors usually have the edge. Without Steph Curry in there, they don't have the edge in this series. Rajon Rondo is playing very well. Jrue Holiday has just taken it up to a next level. And he'll play hard at both ends of the floor. And he'll be very aggressive. He will make you work. And so, you know, that's going to be a job, I'd imagine, for Klay Thompson. And then you might see Iguodala on Rajon if Steph Curry isn't out there. But, you know, with Steph, the thing we know for sure is the spacing is there. And when the spacing is there, more open jumpers, more open threes. Warriors didn't make a lot of threes in this series against the Spurs. They kept them bottled up. They're going to need a little more firepower against the New Orleans team that, you know, not only has Anthony Davis, who's a handful, not only has Holiday, but has Mirotić, who they obtained from the Bulls, and he's providing a lot of punch. The one area where the Warriors do have the decided edge is off the bench. But, I've heard some talk already about maybe the Warriors go with a small lineup a little more often in this series against New Orleans. Because the New Orleans come out with Holiday, Rondo, and Etuan Moore, and that's kind of a modified small lineup for them. Of course, they still have Anthony Davis. I mean, Davis is going to be, just a handful. Like I said, they had the game where he had 47, and Holiday had 41. That's just massive. That's historic. He is something else. Could be a Warrior, as we had that with Tim Kawakami a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
He's a guy that down the road, could be wearing a Warriors uniform. They may be angling for him if the math all works out. But in the meantime, big job for guys like JaVale McGee, Draymond Green, David West, et cetera, to keep him at bay.
Well, Anthony Davis in that series against Portland averaged 33 points and close to 12 rebounds a game. Holiday averaged 28 points a game in the four games, and he was averaging 6.5 assists, so they were really getting it done. And Mirotić averaging 18.3. So, yeah, those are the three players that you look at on that team. Meanwhile, for the Warriors, I think you look at it, Ray, we kind of talked all season about not getting off to good starts in games. That was sort of a focus, and they realized it, that they really had to do that in Game 5, and they accomplished it. Intensity on defense, you mentioned it. That's going to be important because, it's something where every once in a while they've slacked off. Even Steve Kerr was pretty upset about their intensity defensively, I think, at the end of the regular season. So those are two areas. Plus turnovers. It's going to happen throughout the year. We know the way they play, playing fast, moving the ball, they're going to turn it over. But when it gets ridiculous and they're turning it over one time after another, and so many possessions are just lost ones because of that, I think that's another area. So those are always the things I think sort of this year you focus on those areas when you're looking at the Warriors and trying to avoid, some pitfalls.
Yeah, and they were pretty good about turnovers in the series against the Spurs. And I think a little of that had to do with the pace, but also the attention to detail. And again, with Andre Iguodala running the offense, they were a lot more careful in the passes they were making and things like that. So that's to their credit. That's one of the reasons that they won. It's going to be a little more increased pace against the Pelicans. So you might see a few more turnovers. But at the same time, you increase the pace, that usually works to the Warriors' benefit as well. More open shots, more transition shots. That comes back down to two things for them. Number one, taking care of the basketball. Number two, making sure that they're not taking the ball out of the basket and that they're doing the same things they were doing defensively against the Spurs. Not going to be easy because, as you just mentioned, the Pelicans have three guys who can hurt you, and Rondo playing at a high level running the offense. But I think it still, for the Warriors, comes down to the defense. I think Clay is right. They're going to be prepared whether they have Steph or not. But I do think, going to the next round, they absolutely have to have Steph. So the key here is how early, if Steph comes back in this playoff series, how early does he return? And it may be to the point where, okay, they lose a game, then Steph comes back. Maybe that's the urgency they need, unless they're up 3-0, right? If it's a 1-0 lead and they lose a game and they're going back to New Orleans, maybe that's Steph time. Maybe it works out anyway because he's physically ready to go. But it sounds like he's pretty close, maybe not for game one, though.
Boy, I was hoping that he'd be ready for game one. We sit here on Wednesday podcasting, and we don't know yet. We also don't know the schedule beyond Saturday. We just know game one is Saturday at Oracle. After that, we don't know yet. So I would think it's kind of hard for the Warriors also to plan because you don't know how many days off in between. And these playoff series last a long time because sometimes there are 2 days off in between in the same city. So we just don't even know any of that yet.
Yeah. Usual rhythm, though, is every other day, right? So you'd assume they'd be playing Monday if they play on Saturday.
Right.
But you know what happens when we assume. As the coach in Bad News Bears breaking training, was that was the second Bad News Bears, I think. I could be wrong about that. There's one that where they went to Houston, and then I think there's one where they went to Japan. It was really bad by that time. But anyway, the coach said, you know what happens when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me. So we don't know for sure. But I think for the Warriors case, more gaps between these games works to their benefit.
The Warriors are hoping there's one where they go to Houston this time around, you know, because they at least want to get to the Western Conference Finals. Who knows if the Rockets will be there? We'll see. But how do you slow down Anthony Davis? The way he's going, I mean, do you see them, you know, trying to double him a little bit? I mean, JaVale McGee will be on him. But, you know, Draymond's going to help out. I mean, it's going to be hard to slow him down.
Yeah. You put a body on him, and you're going to be using up some fouls. He can go out to three-point range. Although I think that, you know, you're probably better off letting him shoot some three-pointers if you're going to take your chances on anything, right? But, you know, his game is a mixture of that. And, of course, he can be so deadly on the offensive boards and in transition, too. I don't know if there's any one way to really contain him. Maybe what you do is work on the other guys, the supporting cast, and kind of put them out on an island. But I think, you know, what I said originally, just make it as uncomfortable for him as possible. You're going to have JaVale. You're going to have maybe Draymond sometimes matched up against him. David West. Maybe use Zaza a little bit. You can get a little physical with him. Spend a few fouls that way. Zaza was invisible in this last series.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it was wrong. I mean, his play down the stretch was not meriting any time, and this series wasn't a matchup for him. But you know, maybe you want to throw him in a few minutes in that regard. But it that could end up disastrously as well. I'm just saying that they may have more fouls to use and more players to use those fouls.
We'll continue our Warriors conversation right after this.
In the late 90s, San Francisco celebrated the opening of Rose's Cafe at 2298 Union Street. Now, 20 years later, Rose's continues to provide a warm, friendly atmosphere, and you can still count on great food. Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Rose's bakes all of their own pastries and breads. Open 7 days a week, they serve breakfast, lunch, dinner, and brunch on Saturday and Sunday. Check out their menu and hours online at rosescafesf.com. The next time you're driving to or from AT&T Park, stop by Rose's Cafe in Cow Hollow at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
I'm not sure how much stock you take and what happened during the regular season, but the Warriors did win 3 out of the 4 games. It was pretty interesting when you look at the matchups. I mean, Klay and Steph combined for 59 in the first game that the Warriors won. You know, the second game, Curry missed his first 10 shots of the game. That doesn't happen very often, if at all.
Yeah.
But ended up with 27 points, and they won that game without Kevin Durant. In the third game, was also a Warriors win, which is pretty interesting because the Warriors were down in the first half. They were down by, I think it was 21, and they ended up just with a great comeback in the second half and won that game before they ended up losing the final regular season game against the Pelicans when the Warriors already had the number 2 seed clinched. So, you know, a pretty interesting season series where a lot of different things happen. It's kind of a variety there for the Warriors to kind of look at if they're seeing how they did against New Orleans.
Yeah, but recency bias here. I want to see that tape of that series against the Trailblazers, you know, with their dynamic duo in the backcourt.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that the Warriors will, if Steph Curry is back, they're going to present the ultimate threat to them. But what did they do? They really focused on Damian Lillard. They really tried to get him out of his game, and everything fell into place from there. So if there's no Steph Curry, are they going to really focus on bottling up KD or Klay? That becomes the game of whack-a-mole for the Pelicans defense. Alvin Gentry knows these guys well, you know, so it's going to be very interesting to see how he schemes that and how he schemes the matchups. But, you know, if I still believe that if everybody plays to their capability, the Warriors still can win this series without Steph Curry. But you just want to get him back into the flow as soon as possible. And if Curry is back, I think the Warriors win this in 5.
Alvin Gentry is an intriguing part of this because he does know how the Warriors work. But, you know, Ray, how much do you look at with the system they have with Steph Curry and without? I mean, it's pretty much, you know, it's the same system, but the games are played so differently with Steph and without Steph. And you want to have him back, but it seems like it'll take a little bit to get into the flow of having Curry back because it's so different, especially for Kevin Durant. He really has to take the bull by the horns when Steph isn't in there. So how do you see this playing out if, let's say, like you said before, you know, Steph maybe joins it in the middle. Maybe he misses one game, and then he joins this series in the middle of it.
I don't think it's going to be too much of a problem. I think more than anything, it'll be a relief. They've been, you know, soldiering on without him. I think at this point, they're really going to welcome him back. And, you know, who knows what kind of rhythm he'll be in with his shot.
Right.
But you know that they're going to be able to push the pace a little bit more. They're going to get some more spacing. They're going to get some more transition threes. You know, the offense just opens up in so many different ways. The offense was okay against the Spurs. They're not facing a dynamic team. You know, I think this round you're going to need a little bit more offense. So that's why I think it's going to be necessary to have Steph back if you want to make this a short series, one that doesn't go 6 or 7 games. But, you know, he could come back. He could look great. You know, all the spacing is there. He's missing his shots. But that doesn't mean that it won't be there for somebody else. That's, you know, the term we hear is gravity. You know, that's what he does to opposing defenses. Everything's drawn to him. So even if he's not having a great night, it could open things up for other guys in a way that could still make this offense pretty dynamic. It just, you know, it was coming and going. There were hot streaks and then cold streaks against the Spurs. Hopefully you don't see that as much against New Orleans.
More Dubs OT in just a moment.
Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product. Open 7 days a week, Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website at terzosf.com for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs.
I want to go back to what you were saying about Klay Thompson, because he did fight hard to get shots. I mean, he was moving great without the ball. I mean, he usually does, but it just seemed to me like he was a man on a mission to make sure that he was going to get the right shots. And when he gets rolling, it's just really hard to stop him, just like Steph, but it's in a different way because it's a lot of catch and shoot. You know, sometimes he's underneath, those back cuts that he makes under the basket. It's sort of underrated because he could just get a lay-in sometimes so easily. And I think that's going to be really hard for New Orleans to defend.
Well, see, I love chocolate milk, and, you know, when my wife gives me a hard time about drinking chocolate milk, Klay's commercial comes on. I go, see,
nice.
Look at the KP's in. Yeah, so I've got that going for me, which is nice, but I've always marveled at his conditioning anyway. I mean, and he is the Energizer Bunny in that, he gets the toughest defensive assignments, and then at the offensive end, he's moving constantly without the ball and getting to his spots. And he really had to work hard to do that in the Spurs series, especially in Game 5, and he did it. I don't, you know, again, with Steph coming back, he won't need to work quite as hard. But it's like the attitude he said, we're going to prepare if Steph's not there, and if he's there, fantastic. He was tremendous in the Spurs series, except for Game 4. And you just see the maturity with this guy. He's played in the league long enough and had enough success now that he doesn't let a bad game get him down. He's got that shooter's mentality. He says, you know, it's going to happen. I'm just going to come back the next game and keep firing, and chances are more will go in. And so I think that even if he has a poor game one, he'll bounce back. You know, it can happen so quickly with him too, right? He could be having a slow first half. He could not be getting shots. Then all of a sudden he makes a couple, and you look up and he's got 17 at the half. You know, even without Steph, there was that threat of that explosiveness as well as Durant. And so I think you're going to see a game in the series where Klay goes off, and you're going to see another game where Steph gets back into rhythm and he goes off as well. And that's the problem that's going to, you know, bedevil the Pelicans' defense in this series.
Yeah, the thing that's always amazing to me about guys like Klay, you know, a guy who's stoic like that for the most part. I mean, he has some emotion, but he's mostly just under control. You know, he's always confident in himself and the team no matter what's going on, it seems like. But I'm always amazed by guys like that in any sport. I mean, you know, like a Buster Posey, you know, he doesn't get too high or too low. It's that stoic approach that they have, and I can't relate to it because I'm emotional with everything I do. And it seems like it just seems like it works so well for some guys like that. I mean, he's not going to get technical fouls. He might get upset at the officials sometimes, but he's not going to rail on it or let it really affect him. And I just appreciate it.
Well, that's, again, with the shooter's mentality, you got to keep an even keel emotionally, I think. And he's I remember early in his career or earlier a few years ago, and you might recall this, there were a couple games where he was in a shooting slump, and he really took it to heart. Mm-hmm. And he took shots after a game on a Friday night. I remember this because I was doing a post-game show watching him. And it went on for 35, 40 minutes from every spot on the floor.
I think I remember that. Yeah, hearing about that. Yeah.
He was clearly very upset. There were games early in his career where he just left. You know, there was one game where he left in his car with his uniform still on. The legend has it.
Oh man,
he would get very upset, as young players would do. But he cared, right? And now he's at a point of his career. He's got some money in the bank. He's got a couple of rings. He's got status in this league. He knows what he's about, and he doesn't let it bother him. He's got that ultimate shooter's confidence. And he's going to go down as one of the great shooters in this game. As much as we talk about Steph Curry as maybe being the greatest shooter ever, this guy is right behind him, and it's pretty extraordinary to have both on the same team.
You know what's amazing about all these guys is that they could miss a bunch of shots. Like, Durant wasn't hitting his shots the other day, and then all of a sudden when you need him to, he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or if you need him to score in another way, maybe he's not hitting his threes, he'll drive to the basket and dunk it like he did on that one drive.
Yep.
I mean, that's what's amazing is that even if one part of their game isn't going well, they still figure out a way to help the team win.
Yeah, and like I said, Durant was not hitting his threes during that Spurs series, but he hit a big one down the stretch.
Yeah.
You can never lose that confidence, and that's why I say keep firing away. These are Hall of Fame caliber players. Just let them do what they do. Eventually, they're going to find the range. Now, if you're struggling from three, it's a good idea once in a while to either get to the basket, try to draw a foul, or get to the elbow, get to the free throw line that Katie and Clay can both do anytime they want to against almost any defender. And, you know, you get a rhythm back that way. But threes are a part of their game, and it's going to have to be a part of their game going forward, especially if they advance and are going to be playing the Houston Rockets. That part of the game has to be in the mix. You can't live or die by it. But you can't lose the battle of the threes by huge margins. That's going to put you behind the eight ball. I've seen it for years with shooters, and they say you can't have a conscience. And I've watched some of the great shooters in this game, you know, from courtside, whether it's Larry Bird, and I'm going to go way back and mention Lou Hudson, Sweet Lou.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they didn't have three-point line when he was shooting, but he kept firing away. You know, Gail Goodrich with the Lakers, you know, guys like that who shot from distance. You can't worry about having a bad game because if you play long enough, you know it's going to come around. But you didn't suddenly forget to shoot. Jerry West was that way as well. And West was, I think, you know, everybody knows what a great player he was, but an underrated great shooter, especially when it counted in the postseason. And, you know, you're going on and through the years. Those guys fascinate me because the mentality of their game is a little like the closer, is a little like the defensive back, right? You have to forget the setbacks. You've got to have that selective amnesia and move on.
Rick Barry was another name I was thinking
Rick
of.
Rick Barry. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Well, we're going to keep firing away with podcasts because we got the Giants later on this week. We'll be talking about them, and then we're going to continue next week with the Warriors and Dubs OT here. So enjoy the weekend. I mean, it's just crazy. When you think about it, Ray, Saturday, the Giants have a doubleheader with the Dodgers. Day, night, the Warriors have their playoff game one against New Orleans that we've been talking about. And I think the Sharks would probably be in a game two that night in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. So it's just ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, and the NFL draft. Yeah, let's toss that in the mix, too.
There's so much to follow.
It's almost, I can't handle it. It's a sportsgasm, I tell you. But we'll get through it. I'm actually going to be there for game one on Saturday at Oracle.
Awesome.
Haven't been out there for a while. So be very interested. And we'll have a full report, of course, about how that matchup goes. And we'll know a lot more about Steph by that time, too.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you at the end of the week, Giants, and next week, Warriors.
Sounds good.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.